I'm used to a big wide desk, you know, so I have to arrange things straight. So you remember last week I said my alarm didn't go off. So trust with all your heart. Did I trust it? My alarm would go off? It was Sunday? No, I checked it once, twice, three times. My alarm went off today. So trust with all your heart. Our scripture is from Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, why do you think Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 is probably the Bible text that's most often engraved on trinkets and refrigerator magnets? Why do you think that it might be the most often selected Bible life passage in the whole world? Well, there are probably many reasons. But for me, it's so meaningful that it is the very verse that I had inscribed on my ESV Bible that I bought a few years ago. Because trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, submit in all your ways. It's something we just need to be reminded over and over again. So it seems to me that trust maybe comes naturally to us when we're young and learning and stumbling about and still maturing. It's an innate feeling of confidence, safety, and security, like that of a child who trusts what her parents and her elders and teachers and big brothers advise because they have her best interests at heart. They would never allow her to be hurt. But as we grow, trust, we realize, is something that's acquired over time through open, honest communication, consistent, proven reliability, and respect for boundaries. Trust isn't just instantaneous. It has to be earned by merit through solid, trustworthy behavior. Past experience teaches us what we might have in the future. A trustworthy person admits their mistakes, apologizes, and learns from them rather than blaming others. A trustworthy person follows through on commitments, on promises, and shows up when they say they will. And they are consistent in their actions, not just in their words. I think that God, recognizing our human need to find trust in enduring reliability and honesty and loyalty, inspired the writing of these verses to show us where such trust could be found. Take another look at this proverb. There's a small yet comprehensive word that shows up twice in as many verses. In verse 5, we see, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And in verse 6, we see, in all your ways, submit to him. All your heart, all your ways. All means all. And you, my friend, are the only one who can measure what is your all, what it is that you're offering and submitting that is everything. That's between you and the Lord. He's the only one who knows the depth of your heart and the strength of your spirit. I surely don't. And likewise, the assessment of my all cannot be measured by your evaluation tools and methods. Only God can know the meaning of all for each of us because it's It's about the intangible essence of our innermost self, the secret part of our soul that's in covenant with the Holy Father. We see then that our focus to trust in the Lord with all your heart signifies a wholehearted, life-encompassing reliance on God's wisdom and goodness and proven past experience. As believers, to trust with all our heart means placing our confidence in God's unchanging character, his once and future faithfulness, and his proven provision of security and guidance. And when we do so, it fixes in us a change of character. We feel a greater sense of connection, of belonging, and a greater sense of faith. It gives us more confidence, greater effectiveness, and it helps us develop a solid sense of self. If we've not cultivated that sacred trust, then what we may experience instead is excessive doubt about specific situations and an overall sense of fear and anxiety about the world. Now, you wouldn't be experiencing any uncertainty or anxiety about world situations today, would you? 93-year-old Buddhist scholar and activist Joanna Macy says, "Trust is so important to create a safe world." She goes on to say that her trust has become foundational as she ages, and that she even feels a sense of joy in being alive in this world, in this time. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. So maybe what we can glean from that is that God trusted us to be in this world at this time so we can be the prayer warriors. We can be the persons of faith and give others an example of hope and trust and confidence. Well, and that makes me think of my younger brother, David, who is a dedicated disciple for the kingdom. His favorite pastime is converting scripture into rhyme. He's had some good little outcomes. And one Christmas, he gave all of his siblings a poem version of the 23rd Psalm. And for my birthday this year, he sent me this inspiration from the book of Ezekiel. "In you I put my trust, O Lord, and so I will swallow thy scroll. In my mouth it becomes a sword. In my heart it consumes my soul." Take your time with that. Just for a moment, picture the thought of consuming the Word of God and internalizing it so that you can take him at his word. And then think about this. The word, or the theme, trust, occurs nearly 200 times in the Bible. I think that's a reflection of the confident expectation that we have to gain from the Bible for our Christian faith. So earlier, we talked about the need for trust having to be earned. And one of the ways that the Lord builds our trust is through hardship and obstacles and challenges. Yet it is those very challenges that cause us, even require us, to trust him with all our heart. We read of many people in the Bible who demonstrated faith in God's promises and his plans, even when circumstances were dire, even when outcomes were unclear, finding their strength and purpose in him. Their situations were absolutely, positively, cases where God advised them to trust with all their heart. And God always proved that he was fully trustworthy. He does not let us down. He does not leave us. He is good and he is just. And that's why we see that placing trust in the Lord alone is highlighted repeatedly in Scripture. Trusting in God's faithfulness means relying on his unchanging character to keep his promises, because they offer comfort and hope even when circumstances are difficult or uncertain. It involves shifting our focus from personal feelings, from taking it personally, shifting them to God's inherent nature as steadfast and true. It means acting on his word, working to his plan, energized by prayer, shaped by obedience, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. This kind of trust overcomes fears, disappointments, and skepticism. It draws believers into a deeper, abiding relationship with the Creator and Redeemer, placing our unwavering confidence in the one who knows all, rules all, and lovingly invites humanity to trust him with their all. We read in Psalm 62:8, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." That means I can trust God to shield me and protect me in anything and everything. He will not hurt me or disappoint me. You know, with an ever faithful God, nothing is out of bounds, neither intellect, emotions, finances, relationships. Nothing's off limits for us to trust in him. Every domain of life is subject to his sovereign guidance and security. Which brings us to look more deeply at the phrase, "In all your ways, submit to him." Need an example? How about Job? It just always amazes me to think about that man's heroic faith and unrelenting worship of God despite immense loss. To me, Job demonstrated trust in God's sovereignty even when he couldn't understand it. He exemplified the act of turning everything over to the Lord, which is really the proverbial meaning of our verse, "In all your ways, submit to him." Because, really, who better? When you think about it, here's Job's ultimate question to us from Job 12, verses 9 and 10. "Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind?" For us, as with Job, God allows storms and struggles in order to gain spiritual growth and strength and triumph. He uses our emotional, mental, and physical turmoil to bring us into a deeper understanding, closer, intimate relationship with him, just to abide with him. And didn't we say that trust and confidence are gained by challenges? Those are opportunities to enhance spiritual maturity and to align our purpose with God's glory. Trusting God and submitting to his will, they're active, not passive, and they're lifelong endeavors, not quick fix. And you know, we'll never regret entrusting our lives to his care. I just wonder, though, if you can imagine having the kind of reliance on the Lord that caused Job to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now that kind of trust flows from recognizing God's consistent faithfulness rather than from an abstract or untested belief system. Our scripture is a cumulative witness of creation and history and personal experience of all God's children. Because God is intimately involved in human affairs, as is shown countless times in the deliverance and care and miraculous intervention with his people. And Job got it right when he said that our very soul and being are in God's hands. So we submit to him, to his wisdom, and lean not on our own understanding. We were created to surrender our life to God and be fruitful in his service. Can you imagine the impact if we all kept our eyes on the Lord in all things and counted on him to determine our goals? Each day, we would ask God, "What do you want to accomplish through me today, Lord?" If we let him determine our path and priorities. That's the scenario that we're called to play out when we read, "In all your ways, submit to him." All your ways. When believers step up and say, "Use me, Lord. I want my life to make a difference. I submit to your will." You need to brace yourself because the enemy will not take that sitting down. You should expect and prepare for opposition because the devil will attack with a vengeance those who are trying to make a difference in the kingdom, those who are willing to walk with God and abide in him, those who are trying to reach out to others with the gospel. That's why we remind ourselves that the Spirit who lives in them is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world, as we read in 1 John 4, verse 4. I imagine that you have been through a difficult time in your life, or you've watched a loved one endure a trial or a tragedy, and you've wondered why God would allow such a thing to happen. How could God's plan include terrible things? God says all things in your life, not only the upswings, but also the downturns, all things are working together for good to accomplish his purpose. And God's plan is to mold you into the image of Jesus Christ. And he uses hard things to do it. Even Jesus had to go through the hard things. If you were able to read the email from Marina that just spoke to me so loudly, and her little passage that said, Lily asked her, "Mother, Mother, why are you allowing them to do these things to me?" It's just what Jesus said, "Father, Father, they know not what they do. Forgive them." We have to go through the hard things. And if you're a child of God, then there's nothing, no adversity, no accident or hardship that comes into your life without it first passing through the loving hands of God's will for you. And if there was ever a perfect example of complete reliance, sovereign loyalty, and unfailing trust, it was Jesus when he prayed in the garden, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Isn't that how he taught us to pray? "Thy will be done." So we can come in full confidence when we trust him with all our hearts and in all our ways, submit to him. Hear these words from the lovely 119th Psalm. "Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. He only wants the best for us. I read an inspiration a few days ago that said, in the tapestry of our life, our trust in God is the golden thread that weaves purpose into every challenge and hope into every setback. Trust in every challenge? Well, that rolled around in my brain for a little while, and it put me in mind of the Japanese art form of kintsugi, which means golden repair. This is when broken pottery is reassembled, and then it's restored by mending it with lacquer mixed with powdered gold. By repairing the flaws with golden thread, it doesn't hide the scars of brokenness, but it lets them reflect the resilience and beauty of the original work. Now, the lesson is that we need not feel shame from failure or imperfection, but trust that God has a purpose in every challenge and a promise in every setback. And let me return to the reflection of Job considering this situation. But he knows the ways that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. The golden trustworthiness of God can heal us and return us to wholeness. When we place our confidence in him, when we place our lives in the hands of the creator of the universe, he fits the broken pieces back together and transforms us into something even stronger and more valuable than before. God has proven his trustworthiness. Therefore, the wisest response is to rely on his infinite wisdom and wait for his clear direction and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We simply need to trust and obey. Yes, God wants us to trust him. That is hard to do when we're overcome by stress or pain or grief. None of us is exempt from facing difficulties in life. Jesus did warn, in this world you will have trouble. And we all, at some point or another, experience adversity, which, combined with sin's destructive impact on the world, means that life can be painful and unfair. Fortunately, God can always be trusted to balance the scales judiciously. He is a just God, and we need never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. As his beloved children, our trust in him builds as we grow and mature. It's strengthened because we have access to him through his son, Jesus, our High Priest. It's amplified because we have his spirit dwelling within our hearts to direct our path. It's encouraged as we come to fully rely on his promises and follow the perfect prescription, the wonderful life verse that was provided in our proverb today, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways, submit to him. And let's pray. Abba, Father, you have a divine plan for us if we continue to trust you. You have a sacred purpose for us if we fully submit to you. You will heal us and transform us in spite of testing and trials. You will bless us if we come to you in prayer and devotion. You will forgive us when we come in repentance. And you will renew us when we come in confidence and submission, trusting you with all our heart, yielding to you in every way. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.